Welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Stevie Nicol here in the studio. England are champions, Stevie.
Well, you're quite happy, aren't you?
I've never been able to say that in my generation. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Of course, beating Germany at Wembley in extra time to claim the Euros. For more on this, let's go to Kay and the crew.
What about that then? England are European champions, beating Germany in a final. And we'll get to the game in just a moment. Myself, Kay, Steffi and Danielle here. But let's first start with just looking back at what's been a wonderful tournament, Danielle.
I mean, this is the tournament we deserve, the final we deserve. And credit goes to England. I thought they were the best team over the course of the entire tournament. And ultimately, they hoist the trophy.
Yeah, and Germany as well. So many had doubted them coming into this tournament, saying for once they weren't the favourites. But still, with things not going their way, losing one of their star players in the warm-up before the game, still they came so close, Steffi.
They did, and I'm really proud. Congrats to England first, and then seeing this German team from the first game to the final, showing that they're on a good way being back world class.
All right, let's get to the game then, shall we, between England and Germany. Goalless after the first half of action, and then we take it to the second half and we see two brilliant goals that send it into extra time. A dink from Ella Toon and then a very stylish finish from Lena McGull as well, which also just highlighted what we're saying about the quality in this tournament, Steffi.
Yes, I mean, we saw some very good teams that were very compact, but also having technical skill players like her that make a difference. And yeah, and so I'm happy because we saw great games and fantastic goals, set pieces. We saw so many variablen.
Variable.
Which has been quite fun for us, variables, the variables. We're learning German here. We're definitely learning German as this tournament's gone along. But we've taught you some fun English words too, Steffi. But in the end, great goals that we saw here, two quality finishes. And then it goes to extra time. And that's when you know it's going to be a battle of wills, a battle of mentality. And we still saw the two sides have to show how strong they were, how focused and how determined they were too, Danielle.
Yeah, and credit goes to Germany because in the second half and in extra time, I thought they were the more dominant team. They had a little bit more life in their legs. But England, as you said, just found a way to grind it out, found a way to win. Both of their goals, I thought, came against the run of play. And at that point in the tournament, you're exhausted. Your mind is telling your body to do things and it's not functioning. But you just saw Chloe Kelly come in and she was just scrappy. It was her trying to get a toe poke on it. She did absolutely that. And that celebration brings me so much joy. Move over, Brandi Chastain. We have our next sports bra moment. But credit goes to England with the way they were really to fight through. And as we heard from Emma throughout the broadcast, credit goes to the fans for really being that 12th man, if you will, and lift them when times were tough.
The fans everywhere. And now they brought in Serena Wiegmann because times had been tough for the England team. They know that she had already taken the Netherlands to the final in a home Euros and won big. She's just done it with the England team. I mean, what an achievement, Steffi.
She's a great coach. I mean, she knows how to get the best
out of her players.
Again, now the best performance out of her players, and this team just performed the whole time.
Yeah, she has a structure. She has a philosophy. She has a plan. She has consistency. We saw the same starting 11 throughout the course of the entire tournament. And she has a confidence. And I think she really gave that confidence to her players throughout the course of the tournament, saying, I've been here. I know what to do. Follow me and we'll win. And they did just that.
We've seen record attendances, record crowds. What do you think the legacy of the Women's Euros 2022 is going to be?
This is a changing point in women's football. I mean, and you see the numbers there. Three of those top attendance records happened this year for the England game. So I don't think we can speak enough to how big this is a pivotal moment for women's football globally, really, and around the world.
It has to feel different, Steffi. You were telling us back in 1997, in your first final, how many did you play in front of?
It wasn't shown. 350, I would say. There
350
were.
Punto. That's yeah, it, 350. That's it. But what a change, what a growth in the women's game it's been. It must be wonderful to see.
Yes, it is. I mean, truly, but it doesn't make a difference if you play in front of 350. You're nervous and you're just emotional, but this crowd, wow.
Yeah, I think the celebrations will continue for a long, long time, and long may they. Back to you, Dan, in the studio.
Thank you very much, Kay. As you would expect, back page, front page, middle page, all the pages dedicated to England and that historic win against Germany. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Manchester United took on Rayo Vallecano at Old Trafford on Sunday. The game finished 1-1. Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, was the story going into the game. His first start for pre-season for United. He would play the opening half and then leave the stadium early. United haven't come out as to say whether or not he had permission to do so. But certainly the big talking point is we welcome in Gab Marcotti and back from holiday, Frank Leboeuf is here. What a treat. I'll come to you guys in a moment. Stevie, how much of a concern is this from Manchester United perspective that Ronaldo just seems to have gone rogue?
Well, the one thing it tells you is that he's completely disengaged with the club and the team. Just as simple as that. I've seen and I know players and I've done it myself who have left before the end of a game.
Right.
But I've not been in the team, I've not been in the squad, and I've been ready to leave. I've been disgruntled. And so you're disengaged with what's going on at the club. But this guy actually played and then left before the end.
Yeah.
That has got get me out of here written all over it.
United aren't commenting as to whether or not he had permission to do so, Frank, but just from a professional point of view, this seems a little wrong.
Yeah, it is for me. It's not professional, and with all due respect and the fact that I appreciate the man, well, the player, and what he achieved in his career, it's not professional and it's not respectful towards the club. You have to stay. You have to show respect to the other players, to the fans who came, and you still belong to the club. You signed for it. You have to play for them. They didn't make any mistakes. They want to keep you. So I think the only thing you have to stay is at least sit on the bench and wait for the end of the game.
And the problem is, Gab, no one seems to want him.
It's a difficult one because he makes it so that they don't want him is they don't want him at the salary that he commands. There are teams, I'm sure, who would love to have him, but they're not the ones that can afford him. And by the way, if I can make a point. Just in terms of press code and stuff like that, I haven't spoken to United on this occasion, but it just seems extremely obvious to me that if United could confirm that Cristiano had permission to leave, there's no reason they would just not comment. They would maybe comment off the record, but they would let people know that, hey, it's fine with us. He had permission to leave. The fact that they're not commenting suggests, in fact, that maybe he did not, most likely he did not have permission. Maybe he thought he had permission. Maybe it was miscommunication. Maybe all this nonsense will come out in the next couple of days. But it certainly shows that United aren't covering for him and they're not going to bat for him.
What do you do if you're Ten Hag in this situation, Stevie?
Wow. If there's one thing he doesn't need right now is trouble with a player and trouble with a guy called Ronaldo in particular.
Yeah.
Because he is... Every single player in that squad and in that club is looking to see how he deals with this. And if he doesn't come down with an iron fist and do the right thing, they're going to lose respect for him. They'll see him as somebody who can be compromised.
Right. And so he's got to use this as to make a statement.
Absolutely. He has to use it as I don't care what the name is in the back of your jersey.
Right.
This is my team. These are the standards that we set. This is the guy, remember, who came up with all these rules.
Yep.
So never mind being late for training. How about disappearing halfway through the game? No, this is a big test for Ten Hag.
Frank, if you're one of those United players, how do you feel about this?
If I'm one of the important players and I'm the captain, for example, well, tomorrow morning at the training session, I will close the door with all the players and I will say my way of thinking to Cristiano. Yeah, you're a big star. Yeah, you're the legend of football. Yeah, everything you did, what the Ballon d'Or, whatever you want, but you play with us. You don't play on, and we don't play for you. So you didn't respect us. I think something has to happen. We are not there to decide. And if I'm the coach, I will ask Ronaldo to be fined. I will put him on the bench. And I will say, okay, I take all responsibility for that because I'm the boss of the dressing room. And he's not. That's the thing. He has to go to the war. I think Ten Hag has to go to the war. And the players have to back him up. Well, what will be the ending? That Ronaldo was going to leave. But where he can go? He's playing something. He's playing maybe chess with Manchester United, but he's playing the Russian roulette for the end of his career. Because who can afford Ronaldo, and who wants Ronaldo right now? Because it's complicated.
How does this end, Gab?
I've said it before. My hunch is that he's not going to be a Manchester United player come the start of the season. Or sorry, not the start of the season. Come the end of the transfer window. So September 1st, I think he's going to be somewhere else. For the simple reason that it's in United's interest and it's in his interest to be somewhere else. Now, for that to happen, different things have to come together. United have to be willing to let him go on a free transfer. He's got another year, of course, plus the option for another one, which I would imagine they'd be willing to do. They may have to give him some money to leave, so that, you know, he can then do a deal somewhere else, potentially for less money than he's on now. I think Cristiano's priority is going to be the World Cup. So I think everything would be on the table at that point. You know, can I go to a club where I can maybe score some Champions League goals, still be in the Champions League once the knockout round rolls around, and get myself ready for the World Cup? I think that's his thinking right now. And I think he looks around at the project that Ten Hag is trying to build, and it is a multi-year project. And Ten Hag can say in public, oh, Cristiano's a big part of that, but I think everybody knows that he doesn't fit the system. And I mean, in any case, he's 37 years old and his contract is expiring. He's not going to be a United player in 3-4 years, by which point, if Ten Hag succeeds, United will be competing for Champions League titles. So for me, it's no question. Logic would dictate that September 1st, he will not be at Old Trafford.
I'm sure this conversation will continue as a new season of the Gab and Jules podcast drops on Monday. Be sure to check it out over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barcelona beat New York Red Bulls by 2-0. And I tell you what, Dembele, once again, the star of the show, and he's been picked up in the Catalan newspapers. The new Dembele and Dembele's Barcelona heart. Frank, since you've been gone in preseason, Dembele's been absolutely brilliant.
Let's pray. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for the Blaugrana, because it's for sure, if he's fit, if he's consistent, is one of the best players in the world, but that's what he was lacking the past years, consistency. But of course, when he has the ball, he doesn't even know, he's incapable of seeing if he's a left-footed or a right-footed, you know, which is pretty rare for a football player, even for a human being. And he's fast, he knows, he's skillful. When he's fit, he's physically unstoppable. So, well, it's a dream to have a player like that. But again, everybody has a question mark when that's going to stop, because it has stopped so many times that we're all concerned about the fact that at some point he will have a problem. I really wish him the best. I want him to be at his best, because when he showed what he played for Dortmund was exceptional. Hopefully he can do that for Barcelona.
Are you happy that he took your advice and stayed at Barcelona, Frank?
Yes, I'm happy that he did that, because, I mean, Barcelona spent so much money to get him, and he has to give back by performances. And it's what he's doing right now. It's what I want him to do for next season, the season coming, but then the season after maybe, and see what he can bring to the Blaugrana. But you have to provide something that people were betting on you, and he didn't so far. So I want him to stay and please the Barcelona fans.
And let's talk about your former team, shall we? Interesting stuff from Thomas Tuchel talking about pre-season so far. We need to improve. We don't have to be ready yet. We have another week. Then it's time to be on the best level. There's some way to go. It was a pretty long pre-season. It was also tiring and exhausting to be in the US for so long. The whole vibe from Chelsea's pre-season at the moment, Frank, seems to be a little negative.
It is, Dan, and I'm not very confident about what I saw. Well, good that I was on holiday to not see Chelsea losing 4-0 against Arsenal, but I had some Antigua people, you know, very fan of the Gunners, reminding me that fantastic result from the Blues. I tell you, it doesn't mean that you have, because you have a poor preseason, that you're going to have a good season. But it's always good for the confidence to start well, and the preseason is part of the process of getting in a move to a successful season. So what I heard is not good. Hopefully, what I'm going to see next week, is going to be better. But I'm with Tuchel. Something is missing. Seems to be the commitment, according to what he said. Players have to be professional, and they have to do and give their best for the club they signed for.
What are you hearing, Gab? Are Chelsea okay?
Well, I mean, I think what's happening in the transfer market is obvious to everybody. You know, they moved on from Lukaku. The system will likely change to a back four. Certainly, they've played the back four a lot in preseason, and they're short on central defenders. They need to get people integrated, and I think they're still looking to sign players. I think that's not a mystery here. And I think he has a very big squad, and he's got players who, you know, the club would want to shift if they can. And these are players who have a market. But the difficult thing is, you know, they make high wages, and people are going to hang on until the very end to find bargains. That's the way the transfer window works. And that's a downside when you don't have a settled squad, and when you have as much turnover in your squad as Chelsea have this season, effectively losing, you know, three players who got major minutes last season.
We're hearing they're interested in Fofana and Dumfries, Gab. What can you tell us about that?
So the Dumfries thing has been kind of on and off. Obviously, they were talking to Inter daily over Lukaku. Inter still have certain, they do need to raise some money to help balance the books, or they would like to. He's not the only player that they have that's available to sell. And I think at this point, Simone Inzaghi was told, no, Dumfries is staying. We were going to do the deal earlier if we were going to do it. But obviously everybody has his price. The one thing I wonder about if I'm Denzel Dumfries is, do I want to go to Chelsea where, you know, Reece James is there? And I'm not going to beat out Reece James or starting spot unless maybe the plan long term is to turn Reece James into a center back if they can't sign one. Fofana, they've been looking at him even since before he signed for Leicester. Obviously, he had that horrific leg break. Played a couple games at the end of last season. They are getting a little bit desperate, and it's never good to try to negotiate from a position of desperation, especially when you have, you know, Brendan Rodgers and Leicester saying, no, he's not for sale. And from Leicester's perspective, by the way, it probably makes sense not to sell Fofana because, you know, this is a guy who looked to be one of the best young center backs around, and you want him to show that he can have another season like that. And then maybe if you are going to sell him a year from now for really, really big money.
How difficult is it, Frank, to get these defenders, whoever comes in, to gel quickly ahead of the start of the new season?
Well, it's always a bet that you make because you never know how the guy's going to settle down. And for Fofana, it's a tricky situation. Yeah, you want to get a young player. Yeah, of course, a promising player. And I've been the first one to tell to everyone that I think is going to be one of the best central defender in the world. But now to say that you have to spend almost something like $100 million to get him, where the guy is not even international, only played for Saint-Etienne and Leicester, got injured like a year ago. Even if he's been absolutely fantastic, it's difficult to say, okay, we're going to spend that amount of money. For the players, he plays for Leicester. He has a bright future. And he knows that Koulibaly just signed. Thiago Silva is there. Chalobah is still there. So where am I going to be put in that situation? There was going to be a rotation system. How many games I'm going to play? Well, I don't know if I want to take that bet. I don't know if I want to come, if I'm not sure to play. Where I'm going to play for Leicester. Of course, it's not Chelsea, but at least I'm going to play and show to the world. But at worst, it may be signed for a club who's going to secure me a spot, a better spot than Chelsea can be able to do.
Go on, Gab.
No, I was just going to say, flip side of that is if you're Wesley Fofana, if you have the humility to recognize you're still young and you're coming back, I appreciate the point about the minutes, but if you get to train every day with Koulibaly and Thiago Silva, who are two of the very best defenders in the business, I think you have a lot to learn and you can grow into it. And I think that would be the message that Tuchel's sending. But it's a very tough spot to be in, especially when you have a manager like Tuchel, where, you know, he tries to do sophisticated things on the pitch, and these take time. They need to be practiced on the training pitch. You need to have chemistry both in your defensive movements and your attacking movements, and he just hasn't had that time. And right now, they're not gelling.
Fofana has. If Fofana goes to Chelsea, he's off his head.
Right.
The kid's not ready.
Right.
He's not. He burst onto the scene, you could say. But he's not anywhere close to being the finished article. Okay. His biggest problem is his starting position.
Right.
And, you know, Gab's not wrong in saying that if you're going to be training with Silva and Koulibaly every day, it's not going to be good for you. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you what, playing for Leicester week in and week out, even while you're making mistakes, you're going to learn quicker and eventually you're going to be the finished article. You ain't going to do that at Chelsea if you're not playing regularly. He needs to play regularly and he'd be off his head to go to Chelsea for that reason.
Frank, are you okay with Tuchel at the moment? Has he still got money in the bank after that Champions League victory two seasons ago? Of course, we saw a very public argument with Lukaku. Werner seems to be the latest one who's fallen out with him.
I agree with what he says, and the fact that the players don't play well, that the comment that he made around Werner, saying that Werner said he would be happy everywhere he's going to play, and Tuchel was upset about what he says. What he tries to do, what he did at Paris Saint-Germain, and I think he's going to have an easier task to achieve that, is to be the boss in the dressing room. And you say you have to be pleased when you play for Chelsea. You have to be thrilled when you play for Chelsea. And you have to show that and say it. So far, I'm okay with the signing. I mean, Sterling, Koulibaly, that's fantastic. I agree with the guys. It wouldn't be a good idea for Fanai to sign. I don't agree with Gab, the fact that looking at two other players more experienced will help him. Yes, but he doesn't care. He's not there anymore. He's not belonging to the academy. He wants to play. It's why I will follow Stevie saying, yeah, it's better to play for Leicester, play games, especially under Brendan Rodgers, and you will learn more because you're going to play against a fantastic striker. But so far, what Tuchel does, it's fine. We're going to talk maybe about De Jong. I heard that Chelsea they're interesting about De Jong. That's a question mark as well, because you have already three midfield players, defensive midfield players. I don't see why De Jong will fit better than the three that they already have. But otherwise, yeah, I agree with Tuchel. You have to make sure you're the boss in the dressing room, make sure the player is going to stick to you until you're in charge and until you finish your job. So it does like a German normally do. He hits strong and makes sure everybody listens.
As Frank brought it up, Gab, finally for this segment, Frankie de Jong to Chelsea.
This was brought up by the Catalan press as it was on the back of Todd Boehly's trip to Barcelona, ostensibly to sell Marcos Alonso and Azpilicueta. That just seemed weird to me. I remember saying at the time, you would expect the mountain to go to Mohamed and not the other way around if you're trying to sell players. So maybe he was there to inquire about Frankie de Jong. But dude, if the guy doesn't want to leave Barcelona, he doesn't want to leave Barcelona. I don't think Chelsea or Old Trafford make much of a difference for him. And if anything, you would imagine that other than Champions League football, all the other indicators, if he is to leave Barcelona, would point to Manchester United.
Thank you very much, guys, to keep up to date with all the latest regarding the transfer news between now and the close of the window at the end of the month. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Everything what's happened in the last maybe few weeks before I left the Bayern Munich, that was also, of course, a lot of politics and the club try to find the argument why they can sell me to the another club, because before it was difficult to explain maybe the fans, and I had to accept this, even that was a lot of things about me not true, but in the end I know that the fans, because during this period the fans still support me a lot.
That, of course, is Robert Lewandowski's explosive interview to ESPN. For the first time this weekend, we heard Bayern Munich's side of things. Their president, Herbert Hainer, coming out and saying, "I don't understand at all why Robert brought the topic up again. Everyone got what they wanted. We should not forget that he was the first to make things public at the end of the season." Meanwhile, Samhamovic come out and said, "I can't understand it at all. My father taught me that when you leave, you never close the door with your butt." He's well on his way to doing just that. Frank and Gab with us. Frank, what do you make of the way that Lewandowski decided that he wanted to set the record straight?
I don't know. In one way, I would say, as the guys from Bayern Munich said, you're on your way, so you left, so close the door and not with your butt and keep living your life as a fantastic football player. But I think everybody has an ego, and everybody wants to give the version of what happened and why they reacted like that. So it's maybe only fair for Lewandowski to defend himself and finally explain why he wanted to leave Bayern Munich. And whether people are going to believe him or not, it's up to them. I don't know, and I think we'll never know what really happened because everybody stays in his version. So it's not very important in a way. The only thing we know is that Lewandowski left Bayern Munich, but why? I don't care. Really, I don't care.
I'm kind of going with Lewandowski here.
Right.
I don't remember ever hearing an interview with this guy throughout his whole career. So there must have been something really digging away at him
right.
for him to turn around and say something. And quite frankly, having dealt with boards and and directors of football, they're not all squeaky clean, I can assure you. They'll look at you straight in the face, tell you one thing, and then change the goalposts as right. soon as it suits them. So I'm with Lewandowski here.
What do you make of it, Gab?
I mean, look, I think the difference here is the emotion of somebody who spent many years at Bayern and wants to put his side of the story forward and say, look, I didn't turn my back on the club. I served you well for a long, long time. I mean, I think had he been fully honest, he said, I didn't get the contract extension that I wanted. And so at that point, I did what I thought was best. I tried to get a move for the club. The club got a ton of money for a player of my age. They were happy with the deal. I would have wanted it to end differently. That's all he really had to say. And I think in some ways, that's all he really is saying. It's just easier if you're a club person to say, well, look, in the end, everybody's happy because we got a ton of money in and Lewandowski's gone. We're not going to lose him for free in a year's time. You know, suboptimal in some ways, but, you know, in the end, we can live with it, right? Which is kind of what Herbert Heiner is saying. I don't fault Lewandowski because he's a human being and I think who cares about his connection with the fans to come out and speak the way he did. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, if the club had offered him, you know, a 3-4 year deal with certain terms and certain assurances, that he probably would have stayed. And I think it's as simple as that.
PSG looked impressive in the French Super Cup, beating Nantes by 4-0. Neymar with a brace in that game. Frank, what was your big takeaway from this win?
Many good news. Neymar is on fire, and he's been since the beginning of the preseason and working hard for the club. Sarabia also does well. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be on the bench because Mbappe is going to come back.
Mm.
But the fight they play at five at the back. It's interesting, even if they're very offensive, they play at five at the back because Sergio Ramos, Kimpembe and Marquinhos are in the center and you have a Kimi and Mendes on the sides. So, but everything seems to be more, more balanced by Christophe Galtier, and you feel that players are sticking to these ideas. And that's a good thing. They worked and ran very well. Physically, they are on the top. Tactically and technically, they did what they had to do. There is nothing much to say, but, you know, again, the consistency of this team will make the difference. And, of course, you know, if we have no doubts that they are the best team in France, everybody's wondering if they are the best team in Europe. And could it be the best team in Europe?
There was no Mbappe today. Obviously, he was suspended. I suppose the question surrounding Neymar, Frank, is whether Gaultier can get the best out of him.
That's the question, you know. How can Gaultier do to make sure that Neymar is going to be motivated for the whole season, make sure that he's not going to be injured, making sure that he doesn't want to escape to Brazil at some point? That's the whole idea. And I know Christophe, I know the guy is persuasive, I know he loves football, I know he loves his own players, and he can be tough with them, and I think that's going to be the key. Whether Neymar's going to accept the rules or not, that I don't know, but everything seems to be working well so far, where Neymar says he doesn't want to leave the Paris Saint-Germain. Galtier says, I want him to stay. So let's say it's a perfect world. I don't know what the real thoughts of those two are, but let's say that let's believe what they say.
Yeah, well, certainly time will tell whether or not it can work. Extra time is available over on our YouTube channel. Frank and Gab, and of course, Stephen Nicol answering your questions.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Fear not, though. Extra time is still to come. Frank and Gab back with us. Stevie as well to answer your tweets. Stay tuned. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. We also welcome back from his holiday, Frank Leboeuf and Gab, both back, of course. How was your holiday, Frank? Did you have a lovely time?
I had a fantastic time. I want to just say hi to the people from Antigua because they follow us a lot, you know. They love ESPN FC, and you are the star of that show, I have to tell you. I want to say hi to all the people that I met and said good thing about us working and making them laugh a lot.
Oh, very good, Frank. And what about you, Gab? Did anyone tell you that I'm the star of the show anywhere?
No, not at all. In fact, they often mention how lovely it is when Kay and Christine are doing the show. You did ask.
Yeah, not Seb, though.
Don't
not
shoot
Seb.
The messenger.
Gab, where
no,
does...
not Seb. Where Definitely does, not Seb.
Where does Chloe Kelly's goal rank in the pantheon of English international football goals? Ooh.
Well, I mean, as a goal itself, as a piece of sort of technical ability, it is what it is, a goal-mouth scramble. But yeah. If you talk about the importance of a goal, it's a goal that delivered a trophy. And England, men and women combined, have only ever won one other trophy. And that goal, dramatic as it was, as anybody who's German or Derek Ray will tell you, shouldn't have stood because it didn't cross the line. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't born. Right. VAR wasn't there. I genuinely don't know. That goal is mired in controversy. This goal is not, and it delivered a trophy.
Yep.
So for me, there's no reason this goal shouldn't stand at the very top of the pile.
Big celebrations tonight all around England. Meanwhile, Stevie and Frank. Stevie, let's go. Frank, let's go for you. Do you think that players who have the World Cup coming up are slightly worried about not getting injured and because of that won't go 100% into a game training all the time? Or are they just focused on their club schedule knowing that the World Cup will be there soon enough?
We'll go for the second option. I think you... We know the job, we know the risk of the job, and we know that we have to be and give 100%, because otherwise if we think too much that in case we give 100% we can get injured, you definitely gonna get it and gonna get injured. So I think you play your game, you give what you have to give, and you know, somebody, if there is somebody up there is gonna decide whether you're gonna be injured or you're gonna go to the World Cup. But I think you have to show to the world that you're fit, you're ready. And if you're a little bit conservative, maybe the coach will say, well, you know, you're not good enough. So unlucky, you missed it. Not because you injured, but because you weren't good enough. So now you just go for it. And let's pray that everything's gonna be for the best.
No, you don't. Unless for some reasons there's a couple of games or a game that has no meaning before you go,
right?
Then that's the only time you would think about it. And actually, I'll give you an opposite of that. I remember we won the league in the 80s and Tottenham were playing in a cup final. The following week, we played them at Anfield, last game of the season. We'd already won a cup.
Okay.
They were just playing just to get the game out the road.
Yes.
And I remember kicking one of the midfielders, and I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. But as soon as I kicked him and he went down, the first thing I thought about was, oh no, I hope he's all right for the cup final.
Really?
Aye.
You had that kind of...
I had that in my head, aye. Yeah, absolutely.
And did he play in the cup final?
No, he was fine, yeah. Oh. No, he got up and I was like, ah, geez, I'm sorry. He was like, I don't want him, all right.
Oh, it's just big heart, Stevie.
Oh, she breaks off.
That's you. Frank, to make Gav feel a bit better about Italy not qualifying for the past two World Cups, how did the French Football Federation adapt from missing the 1994 World Cup to winning it in 98? Was there a cultural reset, better youth development? What was it?
Well, I think the worst came up for the best, in fact. We needed a new generation. We maybe needed a new coach. So many internal problems because at the time you had, you know, Paris Saint-Germain and Marseille, and the national team was split in two camps, let's say. But I think it's always, yeah, for the best. Yeah, it's hard to accept and digest, but you say, okay, we're going to rebuild, and we have like almost 5 years to do so, because the World Cup, but not this World Cup coming up, but normally it's like 5 years before, or 4 years and a half for before, you know, being able to play in another World Cup. So you have like 2 years, and it's what Aimé Jacquet did, to rebuild a team, to complete every position that you want to complete, and try to do well for the Euro, and then have another World Cup with a more experienced team. We already play in Euro and know each other very well. So yeah, it's hard to digest, and it happened to us. We didn't do 90, we didn't do 94, but we won 98. And again, we wish, well, a little bit, we wish to Italy to do the same as we did.
Does that make you feel better, Cam?
Makes me feel better, but you know, I think what really makes us feel better is that we've got four of those trophies at home that we can polish, and you know, think of the good old days.
Stop living in the past. Stop living in the past, guys. You don't hear England banging on about 66.
12 months ago, right so here good. At Wembley. 12 months
you're
ago,
not Wembley. You're in Rouse.
You're only as good as your last game.
A few miles up the road.
For Stevie, did an opposing manager ever try to get under your skin during a game?
Not under my skin, but I remember we played Nottingham Forest away, and in the 80s, the dugouts were basically, when you were sat in the dugout, you were underground.
Yeah, why
you
know, did you they design them like that?
I've no idea.
It seems counterproductive.
I've no idea, but every ground was the same. Yeah, you were sat at pitch level.
Right.
And the ball went out, and it was a throw-in for us, and the ball went into their dugout. And I go to get the dugout from the Forest dugout, and Brian Clough's sitting like this.
Right.
Just holding it. I thought, oh, that's very nice of him. He's waiting for me going over to get it. And as I got towards the end, he rammed it right in my guts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it was my guts he was going for, yes, but it hit me in the guts.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the only one I got.
How would you cope with opposing managers when you were coaching?
Oh, I couldn't stick it. When they're standing shouting, it gets right on you in there.
Right.
You just want to tell me, shut up and sit down.
Did you ever tell them to do that?
No, you can't do that.
Well,
I'm sure they probably thought the same about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, really annoying. You know, do you know the one that really annoys me?
Go on.
I'll tell you the one that really used to get on my wick. You'd be playing a game and you're out playing the opposition.
Yeah.
And the dugout up next to you, there's not a peep, it's all silent.
Yes.
Nothing going on. And the opposition score from nowhere. And all of a sudden, the manager's out. And he's given all this, directing traffic. John, John, come in here.
As if it, like, it was him, yeah?
I'm like, yeah, right. I think I'm stupid, oh, for sure.
What about you, Frank? Has a manager ever tried to get under your skin?
Maybe they tried, but I was always pretending that I was too far away to hear them.
Right.
So it was like.
Oh, he's thinking about his own managers.
No, I don't recall somebody saying something, but it might have happened sometime when the coach says, well, I was trying to argue with me, but I didn't pay attention. I think, as Stevie said, you know, mostly coaches, they talk for nothing, and it's mostly nonsense.
Yes.
Comments, you know, and we don't want to hear them. We listen to them half time and at the end of the game, but during the game, we just pretend. Only left people play on the left first half, people on the play on the right second half, have some words with the coach, but when you play in the center, in the vertebral column, you just pretend you don't hear them because the crowd is full and it's crazy atmosphere.
Did you want to add something? You look like you.
I was thinking of Ronnie Moran.
And he was the assistant coach when you were at Liverpool.
Assistant coach, and he always picked on the young guys, and he was always shouting, right?
Right.
And of course, everybody would give him the rubber ear.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And of course, if you were the young guy, you were just in the team, when you came off, he'd just walk by you and go, by the way, don't you do that again. He said, I know you can hear him. What was said.
And you're like, what? For Frank. Who is the best and most reliable defender in the current French national team? It's a long list, isn't it? Koundé, Varane, Saliba, Kimpembe, Konate, or anybody else?
Reliable.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you name a few. You know, I followed Saliba. Nobody talked to about him a lot, but I followed last season Saliba playing for Marseille. That's a hell of a player, I can tell you. Hopefully he's going to do well this season to show to the Gunners that he's deserved to stay and be in the central defense. But Saliba is a fantastic player. I don't know, making choices would be very hard because on top of it, you know, when you have Varane who proved so much, won so many Champions League, but was alongside Ramos, you can say that, you know, I would have been alongside Ramos, and Saliba, Koundé or Kimpembe would play alongside Ramos like Kimpembe does nowadays, but Ramos is maybe not the same Ramos. It would have been easier to have a fantastic career. So Varane's a fantastic player, but he was in a fantastic situation. But the other are fantastic players, so it's hard to name who's the best, but they're all fantastic.
Everyone's fantastic.
You could ask the question a different way.
Well, they've asked it this way. How would you ask it?
Who's the most reliable for France?
Right.
I mean, look at Harry Maguire.
Yes.
I mean, he's been just rotten for England. But when he plays
United,
for England...
For United.
For United.
Yeah.
But when he plays for England, not a problem.
Final question, Gab. We just need the cliff note version of this, really. People joke about Barcelona's reckless financial management, but are they under threat of discipline or investigation from a governing body like UEFA or La Liga?
I don't see why they would be. Certainly, I mean, if you're talking about when they sold the TV rights, they have a club asset. It's their asset. And they decide to sell it and book the sale as revenue. I am 100% certain before that they did it, because they would be fools otherwise, they would have gone to La Liga, gone to UEFA and say, hey, we're going to sell this asset and we're going to book it as revenue. We can do that, right? And I'm sure they said yes, because there's no reason they wouldn't have. So once you do that, that money comes in, and for this season, obviously, and it counts as revenue, and that then allows you to go and spend in a transfer window and on re-signing players the way that Barcelona did.
That is it. We are done for the day. Good to have you back, gentlemen. Xhaka with me on tomorrow's show. Be sure to join us as we count down to the start of the domestic seasons right across Europe.